This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
When Schultz joins us now, she's also chair of the Democratic National Committee. She just came from the House floor. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
Tell me what the strategy is right now.
You know, the strategy is that we're at a point in the year where we've had more than 100 mass shootings in this country, and countless numbers of times that members of Congress from the cities across this country in which those shootings have taken place have stood on the House floor in the well and asked for a moment of silence and the thoughts and prayers of our colleagues. Well, thoughts and prayers aren't good enough anymore. We have to act. We have an obligation to make sure that the legacy of those
children
will
be killed. How long will you be there? What's the strategy? How will you measure what you can accomplish?
Well, we are going to hold the floor of the House of Representatives. We are in our 19th hour until we can get the majority to do their jobs and give us a vote.
So
but Congress has adjourned.
It is
a cowardly act that they have not at least allowed a vote.
But Congressman, hasn't Congress adjourned? Hasn't the Speaker adjourned Congress and said you can go home till after the July 4th holiday?
He has, but that doesn't mean that we can't continue, and we will continue to shine a spotlight on this issue, the fact that the Republicans in the majority will not allow a vote on bills that would simply say, if you are suspected of terrorism, if you are on the terrorist watch list, if you are on the no-fly list in this country, then you should not be able to buy a gun. And look, they don't have to vote for the bill. But they have to put the bill on the floor and own up to where they are and stare their constituents in the eye and say yay or nay. That's what they're elected to do. But they're running and hiding because of the NRA.
Congresswoman, I heard...
I got to tell you, she was wiped out, the poor thing. You know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I mean, bless your heart, you're going to be coming down to Florida if you get a break. Come on down here. I'm going to take you to Starbucks. We're going to have a little drink of coffee, pep you up a little bit. I mean, after a long night is really tough. It's interesting with these politicians. And poor Charlie Rose, you ask her a question, go, what's the strategy? They can't answer the question. And this is like all over again, with Chris Matthews asking her, what's the difference between a Democrat and a Democrat socialist? And, neither her nor the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton, could answer that question. So here it is.
I have a question. Based on what we just heard, are her and her Democratic colleagues going to just sit there until July 4th, after July 4th?
Well, that's the other person in the panel asked it. Hey, aren't they? Here's your strategy. They're adjourned. It's like, hey, you're all dressed up and there's no party. I hate to break it to you, but...
The party's not until next weekend.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And I understand. Democrats see this as a serious issue, and it is. And we need to talk about these things. The challenge that I have, Scott, is trying to break this thing down to figure out, if you're on a terror watch list, should you be able to... fly? Well, probably not. Some of these things are pretty reasonable, questions, answers. But like everything that has to do with politics, there's always some other tentacle that's hanging that, unless you really get into it, the mainstream media is not going to tell you what it is. And I guess it's up to us to figure out, what is it that is the major problem here, with this deal? Because, if you're being investigated, there should be some due process and said, right now, because we think you're a terrorist, you're on timeout, which doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to regain your right, possibly. Maybe we're open for that discussion. But we got to be careful about how we're mixing everything up with Orlando, because we still don't understand what happened in Orlando. There's all kinds of suggestions, but I think what we said earlier, Scott, last week, I think it's probably more true than not, and probably more in line with what actually happened as opposed to what's being babbled about right now.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that style? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here at 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. You can find out how you can connect with any one of our 280-plus affiliates around this country, and join us every Monday through Friday for three wonderful hours of pursuing the truth wherever it leads, and along with it, we get to have some fun, you know, whether we're talking about movies. It's not all about politics, you know, we talk about politics, talk about issues of faith, but also we talk about human interest stories like what we're going to talk about right now, and this is an incredible story in light of what we've been hearing that happened recently in Stanford. This didn't happen in Stanford. This happened at a Colorado college back in 2008 on her second night of college. If you can imagine this, our next guest, Aspen Mattis, was raped by a fellow student, shattered and alone. She fled the desolation she felt at her Colorado college and the overprotectiveness of her upbringing in a small Massachusetts town. And she goes to the Mexican border to begin a 2,650-mile month trek through unforgiving desert and mountains to Canada. The name of her book is Girl in the Woods. Aspen Mattis, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, great to have you here to tell your story. This is, you know, it's heartbreaking as you read, you begin to read your story to see what happened to you. And not only you, but, you know, your family, you know, what your parents went through. I mean, as they're getting the news and understanding, you know, how you've been violated, and you got to get away. And you don't just get away by getting away. I mean, you really get away. And I was thinking, you know, what your parents, you know, being a parent, I'm just thinking, you know, how tough that must have been, you know, on them and on everybody. I mean, you're dealing with your own stuff, but it's not much they can do about it. I mean, this is something that you have to deal with, right?
Right. I think it was tremendously traumatic for my parents also to learn that I had been raped. And I think when I was 18, I couldn't quite understand that. I knew that I was devastated and that I was violated, but I couldn't quite fathom why my parents would have a hard time. And, like, I think that it's so important for both parents and victims of rape to know that if your parents react without compassion, really, when you first tell them about an assault, it's not because they don't love you. It's because they do love you so tremendously much mm-hmm. that it is also traumatic for them.
Yeah, I mean, you got to you're processing it, you know, layer by layer as you go through, and here they are, they're hearing the news and processing, and here it is, their baby girl who they've protected all this time, and now you're in a college when there's all this future and hope and everything, you know, envisioned for you, and that dream is shattered for that one night.
Yeah, like I was the youngest of my family. I'm the baby girl. I have two older brothers. I was tremendously protected and maybe overprotected. And then the minute I left home, in my mother's vision, the worst thing that could have happened happened. On my second night at school, before classes had begun, before I'd even removed my colorful yellow and blue construction paper name tag from my dorm room door, I was raped by a fellow freshman. And then when I reported the rape to the college, they discouraged me from going to the police, and they encouraged me to go through the school's, quote, conflict mediation process, as if rape could be mediated.
Right, exactly,
like a playground fight. Like, what other violent felony is handled through mediation? And I didn't really realize at the time either how absurd that was, but I did it because I was 18 and I trusted the administration that I had enrolled in, you know? And so I testified, and he testified, and the mediator found him to be innocent and allowed him to remain on campus. And then they moved me off campus. And then, with 5 weeks left in my freshman year, I dropped out and left and decided I was going to try to physically, literally reclaim my life and reclaim my body.
Yes.
By walking from Mexico to Canada along a continuous footpath through the wilderness all the way from Mexico to Canada. It's an unbreaking and, like, clean line through California and Oregon and Washington State through the desert and the mountains and the woods. And from that point on, my parents were just tremendously supportive. They understood. Like, they felt my conviction. And they realized that, like, I was going to do this whether or not they supported, and that it was what I needed to do, and they were going to support me in every way that they could.
What were your brothers saying at this time?
Oh, my brothers? Oh, my God. That's not really in the book. Maybe I should keep it off the record, but they were not as on board. I think they thought it was totally nuts.
What, you walking? Or
I mean,
I got to tell you, anyone of my sons, if she's not quite the youngest, but close to the youngest, she's second from the youngest. If this had happened to her, Lord have mercy. You know, this is the kind of thing, and I'm not, you know, again, everybody does their own deal, but I'm just saying, I know her brothers, and they'd have been ballistic.
I know. Well, one of my brothers, who I'm really close with, the one who's a professional baseball player, his name is Jacob in the book. I changed names, but he's 5 years older, and he was very upset, and he was like, do you want me to beat him up for you? And I was like, that really will solve nothing.
Yes, exactly.
But I think the hike and the going alone into the woods, into a world in which I'm even more vulnerable, and where a world in which men multiply and women divide. There are 9 men for every 1 woman who hikes the Pacific Crest Trail. It was totally insane to him, and I understand that. It was totally.
Now, how did you come up with this idea?
People.
How did you come up with this idea to hike the Pacific Trail?
Yeah, so there are so many different answers to that question, and some are deeper than others, but the most fundamental answer is that in the summers of my childhood, my parents would take us backpacking, and my dad would catch fish, and my mom would cook the fish, and my dad would tell us the most amazing stories in the tent, and I just felt like so close to my family and so close to my brothers and so safe and protected in this gorgeous, like these gorgeous river valleys of the West every summer. And really, to me, in my vision, the Pacific Crest Trail became the only clear path I could see back to my childhood and back to my innocence, really.
Well, here it is. In your memoir, you document your adventure from Mexico to Canada, mountain passes, rattlesnakes, bears, and lions almost, but bears for sure, a 30-mile day, you got sore feet. This is like the movie Into the Wild. But for you, it was a redemptive journey for you. Now, Girl in the Woods, a memoir, it's available for everybody at all the usual places, Aspen, right?
Yes, it is. Anywhere books are sold.
Well, I got to tell you, God bless you for all that you've gone through. And I know that other women hearing your story that can sadly relate to maybe a college experience like what you went through. This book is really redeeming, and I thank you so much for sharing it with us. Aspen Mattison, Bill Martinez Live.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
A I'll tell you, we got to let it play on for a little bit. A little La Bamba music, kind of get us up and going. I'll tell you, you know, every Mexican boy that's got a guitar, that's one of the first songs you learn. I just want you to know that, you know. Otherwise, you're just not allowed to eat tortillas. And nothing worse than being a little Mexican boy not having flour tortillas. I mean, that's like a day without sunshine. It's just not possible. Hey, it's 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. John Hart is with us right now. It's always good to have him with us. Editor-in-chief of the conservative political website Opportunity Lives. It lives, it's alive and well. And, John, we thank you so much for being so vigilant to keep that opportunity alive and well for us.
You bet, Bill. It's a pleasure to be on. And I can actually play La Bamba on the acoustic guitar. And I'm not Mexican.
Well, you know,
so
that's
just a sign of my diversity.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it just reinforces that. Plus, on top of that, you probably haven't seen a churro you didn't like, right?
Exactly. I have not.
I mean, it goes hand in hand. And plus flour tortillas. I got to tell you, if you were hanging with me as a kid and you started smelling the homemade tortillas hot off the griddle that my mother was cooking up,
I'd be beating it down your door.
Oh, I'm telling you, you know, it was amazing. We had kids that would, you know, walk from all around the neighborhood. They'd smell the tortillas. They'd come. And I mean, and we're not, talking like one or two or three. It was like a couple of dozen.
You can't stop coming.
Yeah, no, she's the best tortilla maker. She's 92 right now, so alive and well, and bless her heart. But the memories and the smells of homemade tortillas are alive and well in this young boy's mind. I got to tell you, John, I want to talk to you. About your latest column. You know, you got to love the Democrats. You know, they figure if they bring it out, then you can't accuse them of the very thing that they they say they're.
Exactly.
They're trying
exactly.
to, you know, let's crack down on campaign finance and lobbying laws. Well, yeah, but you guys are the ones that are blowing this thing up here. So,
I know. The hypocrisy is really astounding, and you know, and it's really troubling on a few levels. I think, Bill, that, you know, first off, you have the House GOP that is doing, I think, a really commendable and important thing right now. They're rolling out a detailed policy agenda that. Is describing what they're for. So one of the reasons people don't like politics is they feel like, well, you know, one party always complains about what the other party says, but they don't offer their own ideas. So here you have Speaker Paul Ryan rolling out a very detailed, very robust, serious agenda on things like poverty, upward mobility. They just did health care. They're going to do tax reform.
Right.
And one of them was on regulations. And so when you look at the cost of regulations, you're looking at $1.89 trillion. On healthcare, we spend $3 trillion every year, and that's one-fifth of our economy.
Exactly.
But the Democrats' response to this is astonishing. Their quote, big agenda for 2016 that Hillary Clinton's going to run on is quote, campaign finance reform. But what it really is, and that's $6.3 billion based on what we spend in 2012, and, you know, let's say we spend $10 billion a year. Well, just to put that in perspective, you know, that's one 189th of what regulations are. But we spend $7.9 billion on shampoo, conditioner, and hair products, $7.9 billion on Halloween candy, $11 billion upgrading our phones, and $16.5 on video games. So when you put this big, quote, big number in perspective, it's not all that much. And,
exactly.
You know, you could argue, isn't updating our laws more important than updating our smartphones. But what they really want to do that's more ominous is control and silence people they disagree with. That's why this is an issue, because they want to use, Lois Lerner wants to use the IRS to silence Tea Party critics. You know, Kim Straw, I was just at a book party with Kim Straw also last night at the Wall Street Journal.
Uh-huh.
And she has a new book out that everybody should read called The Intimidation Game. And it tells these stories in more, you know, in more depth than I put in my column about how the left is trying to systematically silence conservative thought and conservative speech.
Well, and they've been successful. I mean, what Lois Lerner did in terms of taking out the Tea Party, I mean, she's basically single-handedly, or let's just say the IRS, a government agency supported by We the People, took out a political interest for four voting cycles at least, and it may be going on five for all that they've done. And you know, now they're looking at other ways because they've got the model down. They go, hey, this worked out so well, we were able to get it by the people, not a problem. So let's do this with global warming. We're going to do this with other issues of life that we think aren't moving along. And as soon as they can figure out how to manipulate the Second Amendment, you know, they're going to do the same thing, right?
Exactly, exactly. You know, and Bill, the distinction here that's really important is, as private citizens, we the people, we have a right to inspect the government's checkbook at any moment because it's our money. Not their money, it's our money.
Right.
But the government does not have the right to come into your home and inspect your checkbook, you know, or your mom when she's making a short. I mean, just imagine how invasive and bizarre that would be if you had a government bureaucrat show up and demand to look, rifle through your personal files and your checkbook. But that's exactly what Democrats want to do on this issue of campaign spending, because they want to harass and they want to intimidate people who are trying to use their constitutional rights to affect political change in this country. That's one of our most basic sacred freedoms, and they only want it to apply to themselves. And it's insidious, and we've got to call them on it very aggressively across the board.
Well, I think that, John, again, this is one of those visceral responses and reasons why people are connecting with Trump, even in the midst of, you know, the mixed messages and some of the confusing statements that he makes, because they see him, in a sense, as he's the Obi-Wan Kenobi to come in and maybe address some of these issues, because, you know, doggone Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, they're not going to touch it. She already said it's going to be the same. You know, another 4 years of Barack Obama, hopefully eight, she says. And we're sitting here going, how can we sustain this? We need somebody with some business mindset. I mean, even as a kid, I used to say, my father and I used to have some pretty heavy duty conversations, John. And I'd say, we need to call time out on the government. It's almost like a Chapter 11. And, you know, when you have somebody outside come in as a chief executive officer for a company that is hurting, and they need a Chapter 11 counsel and execution, they start cutting the fat. They do these things. And you know, whether or not Donald Trump can do that in light of the bureaucracy and the union involvement and everything else without getting shot, you know, that's another story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, you know, I'm not a big Trump fan, but I agree with your point premise that I think he certainly has brought to the surface and tapped into this deep angst and about what the government's doing to our country, and it's an enlightened angst. It's not irrational. It's grounded on facts, because the government is truly out to get people they disagree with, and it's a tremendous affront to our freedoms and the principles our troops died for. I mean, think about that when you walk through Washington D.C. Using the power of the state to silence political opponents is like defacing our monuments.
Exactly.
It's outrageous. And so I think Trump is bringing this to the surface, and I'm not confident he's going to be able to generate a big fix. But I do think the public has the power within their own right to make a difference.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I mean, in Coburn's office, when I worked for Coburn, we actually got rid of earmarks, which was a crony capitalist boondoggle.
Right. Well, you know, to your point, John, it's we the people. We the people have to have the stomach and the courage to be able to do this. Like you say, we have every right to go in and check the government's books. Well, what does that look like? What do we the people need to do to put the pressure back on the government to say, you know what? We're going to hold you accountable, and it's much more than just, you know, your re-elections, because we have so many in the bureaucracy now that, you know, they have these jobs that they're so secure in. I mean, you know, it's like Ronald Reagan said, it's the closest thing to eternal life this side of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we got to change that. And I think, you know, people using their voice on social media, tuning into your show, going to our site, those are the basic things that we can do.
Your site, real quick. We got 5 seconds, John. Your site, real fast.
OpportunityLives.com.
And would like to learn how you can get anywhere from 5,000 to 1 million in 60 seconds? Then let me explain. We're called Capify.
We've been loaning and advancing money to businesses for the past 13 years. If your business does at least $120,000 a year, gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal, and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $1 million in cold hard cash deposited in your business bank account in a few days based off your revenue. Call Capify now and get the money you need.
800-217-5107, 800-217-5107, 800-217-5107, 800-217-5107.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Yes, sir! Oh, we got a party on. Why not, huh? A little Buster Poindexter here for us. Oh, yeah. And let's get all in the conga line. Let's have a good time together. Why not? 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. We're going to talk about education, or as our next guest says, the miseducation of America's children. You know the scenario. For the past 35 years, at least, politicians and the U.S. Department of Education have promised to end the increasing failures of public schools. Today, American students rank well behind our global competitors, and bad schools are disproportionately affecting low-income students. Vicki Alger is with us. She is a research fellow and educational expert, and brings to us a lot of research and exercise in understanding what is going on. Vicki, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you for coming on here, Vicki. Gosh, you know, I think about all the money that we have invested in our education, and to get the kind of results that we're getting right now, I mean, it is dysfunctional. It speaks of a systemic issue. What is it? Is it a lack of courage, a lack of vision, a leadership? You know, what is going on? Why is this continuing down the road 35 years when we knew long ago that there was a problem here in River City?
Well, I think we have to start with first things. We have to acknowledge that D.C. does not know best when it comes to 50 million school children across the country. I think that's the first problem. There's no one-size-fits-all. Education needs to meet children where they are, and as we hear the bad headlines about one government program after another that's so expensive and isn't, at best just isn't working. At worst, it might be hurting. The good news is that more than half of the states now have private parental choice programs, scholarship programs that are getting tremendous results, particularly with children that we're told are just too hard or expensive to educate. And these programs are doing it at a fraction of the cost. And the reason they're so successful is the right person, the right people are in charge, and that would be those children's parents.
Exactly. So who's paying for this?
Do you mean the private, the parental choice programs?
The parental choice program. Is that paid by we the people, or is that additional monies that's being paid by parents that realize that the current system's not working, so it's like a private school program?
Well, there are three main types of programs. The largest program would be tax credit scholarships. These are private people, private donors who make charitable contributions to scholarship organizations that give scholarships to largely low-income or disadvantaged children. So that is paid privately, and those taxpayers can take a credit or deduction off their taxes. The other types of programs would be voucher scholarships. Just like higher education scholarships, Pell Grants, vouchers are paid for by the taxpayer. One of my favorite programs, it's one of the new ones, they're educational savings accounts. And these programs probably come closest to Nobel laureate economist Milton Friedman's vision or Thomas Paine's vision. Essentially, parents who don't prefer a public school education for their children inform the state, and the state deposits around 90% of what it would have spent to educate these children in a public school and puts it in a dedicated savings account for that child instead. What we're seeing is in Arizona, for example, the state that started it more than 5 years ago, is an unprecedented 100% satisfaction rate, and that's because parents are using those funds not only to pick where their children are educated, but how.
Exactly.
They're really tailoring it, and it's working. And it's working for children who, again, have severe challenges.
Can they make a choice based on their values? Like if it's a, you know, people of faith saying, look it, I want my child to go to a faith-based school, and I want my savings program money to be directed toward that faith-based school. Are they allowing that to happen yet?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a critically important component, because particularly as we see the rise of Common Core, and for example, look at your state standards. That could be a real eye opener. It may not seem like riveting reading, but I would urge parents to look at their state standards and see all the sorts of politicization and agendas that are involved in the state standards. California's proposed history and social science standards, for example, are just eye-popping, and in terms of the sexual politics, the revisionist history, and so forth, parents need that sort of option to send children to schools that support their values, not attack them.
Well, your book, Failure, The Federal Miseducation of America's Children, couldn't come at a better time, Vicki, and I'm sure as you were writing each chapter, you became more and more convinced that this was information that you had to get into the hands of parents as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. And we could see just in our own lifetimes all the promises made of better achievement, better administration, better cost effectiveness haven't come to fruition. But it goes back. We have an even longer history, because what we had a Department of Education that was approved back in 1867. Mm-hmm. It didn't work then. It's not working now. And what I really wanted, so many people, we all know that something's wrong, but what I really wanted is to show people that we can dismantle the U.S. Department of Education. And in the states, if there are programs that we want, let voters and taxpayers decide for themselves. Don't try and force a one-size-fits-all agenda or mandate across the country.
But you're not going to get cooperation from the bureaucrats. I mean, you are attacking their very lives, though I have to think that there are some... I mean, you know, just like anything, we're not trying to broad-brush all educators here, because I think it's more of a function of administration. This is from my perspective, you know, that I think it's an administration issue. And I don't necessarily mean administrators. I mean, it's the things that it's influencing, which, you know, we're talking about unions. We're talking about the government. We're talking about this idealism that comes from a top-down mentality that says they know better than the local people. You know, I don't know anywhere that's working, maybe in the military, but and a couple other exceptions. But by and large, time and again, when the government wants to present itself as being the government of everything and all knowing, it has fallen on its face time and time again. And what are we losing in the process? I mean, we're losing our young children. I mean, for all this money that we're investing, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we get. I mean, why is it that we can't not expect and demand a return on investment for the amount of money that we're putting into this, you know, this part of our lives?
And you're absolutely right. And here's why I'm hopeful. You mentioned that administrators and teachers, well, here's the ironic thing. Yes, many administrators and teachers were all in favor, both in 1867 and again in the late 70s, in having a national Department of Education. But what we're seeing now with the advent of the heavy-handed mandates, all of the agendas that may be as a group, I'm not talking about individuals, as a group, administrators and teachers don't like, they're now in opposition. So what we're seeing now is a really good time where everybody across the political spectrum is rethinking how we approach education. Because let's not forget, our neighbors to the north in Canada, they consistently rank top 10, have similar or more challenging socioeconomic populations, and they rank consistently within the top 10 globally, and they spend a fraction. We don't have to have a command and control system. We already have an example of it working at the local level, starting with parents.
Exactly. And you've got a great laboratory there in Arizona. You've got empirical evidence, so why not follow the leader here?
Absolutely. Follow what works.
Exactly. Well, Vicki Alger has been with us. Vicki, congratulations on the book. Thank you so much for coming on, explaining it a little bit more of it to our parents out there. How can they connect with you and get their hands on your book?
Well, please visit the Independent Institute. That's just www.independent.org.
And then, of course, the book, make sure you know, Failure, the Federal Miseducation of America's Children. It will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Vicki Alger on Bill Martinez. Thank you, Vicki.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's P-R-O-P-U-R-USA.com.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
Here's Dr. Paul Meyer, Christian psychiatrist, author of 85 books, and founder of the national chain Meyer Clinics, to tell you about To Your Health liquid vitamins.
I've been taking these every day for over a decade now, and I try to encourage every one of my clients to take them every day, and there's a number of reasons. First of all, it's the best vitamin you can get. It's got dozens of vitamins, antioxidants, and nutrients in it. And then the most important reason why I do it as a psychiatrist and recommend it to my patients is because it's got brain food in it. It's got the essential amino acids. It's got tryptophan, phenylalanine, tyrosine, choline, vitamin B6, and these chemicals that are all natural from food turn into the brain chemicals that make you happy.
To Your Health is delicious. Find out more today. Call us 800-801-3459 or visit online at mytoyourhealth.com. Use the coupon code RADIO15 for a 15% discount on your order. That's mytoyourhealth.com.
I'm Jesse Gonzalez, Vice President of Kmart. Do you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me in Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the marginalized fight premature birth and birth defects, and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
No, you're not alone. Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates, thank you for joining in. Just you're welcome here. Good to have you here with us. 3 hours every day from 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. On this Bill Martinez Radio Network. Good to have you along with us, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, the question of the day is, why are so many people leaving churches today? Isn't Christianity supposed to be the most attractive force on the planet? Could it be that many Christians are not displaying an authentic and powerful walk with Christ in their daily lives? I'm sure as many people as you would speak to, you would get their opinion and their ideas of the problem. Well, with us right now is Leon Fatane. He is a megachurch pastor, a TV host of his own TV show. In fact, he's on the West Coast and was on TBN last night, is what he tells me. And we're talking about his latest presentation, a series, An Essential Guide to Reaching People for Christ in the Power of the Holy Spirit. Leon Fatane, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Hey, Bill. It's great to meet you. It's great to be on with you.
Hey, good to have you here. You know, these questions are something that, you know, many Christians, even in churches, are pondering. You know, they see that, hey, people are coming, they're going, you know, are they really catching it? Is it really making, you know, making sense for them? You talk about the essential guide, you know, and I read it as the essential and effective guide. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have the essentials, but, you know, is it working? Is there fruit there for the labor that you're putting into it?
Yeah, that's so true. You know, when we think about a Christian, especially if we see it on television, we think of a judgmental person who is looking down their nose at somebody who has sin in their life, and they want them to clean up that sin. And every Christian seems to have their own list of the most important things that we should be dealing with. And if we ever share our faith with somebody, rather than a relationship, we tend to share, these are the things you can't do. Can you imagine if you were dating somebody, but before you got married to them, you gave them a list of, these are the 10 things you will never be able to do around me? It's not a relationship. It's a religion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because then you're not, you know, you're trying to set up a contract, not a covenant. And that doesn't work, right?
So true. That is very true. When it comes to being spirit contemporary, for me, that definition, I'm from Canada. Mm-hmm. And so reaching Canadians when it comes to the gospel is different than America. I'm a Canadian. I love Canadians, but we are a very sarcastic, you know, untrusting group when it comes to religion. And so when we started the church there in the central Canada, we, you know, it would not grow until we learned to be spiritually alive,
right,
but yet contemporary, authentic, and respecting everybody we talk to. That's the only way we're able to begin to grow this church.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people can see you, and they're going to, you know, agree and witness with what you're producing. Kind of like back in the days of Catherine Coleman, Leon, she always insisted that there had to be a happening, you know, that there had to be a demonstration of the Spirit. There needs to be a manifestation and a validation by God of her ministry. And that's what she hungered for. It wasn't about fame, wasn't about anything for her. It's just that, hey, God, I just want to know that what I'm doing here is that I'm doing what's right in your heart and what you've called me to do. Because if I'm doing that, then the rest is just going to follow suit, right?
So good. You know, when I read the Bible, because I was a pastor working underneath my father,
mm-hmm.
and as I read the Bible, it was really exciting for me as a minister because everything in the New Testament was about itinerant ministry. It was about how to be an apostle, how to be a pastor, how to be an evangelist, how to be a teacher, how to be a prophet. But in today's world, which I believe is even more exciting, we don't have teaching how to be a lawyer and have the Spirit of God guide you in a court of law. We don't have teaching on being a business person, working a business deal. And how do you take this company to a place where it can support missions and Christian television for millions? It's all taught and it's done in principles, but it's done towards an itinerant minister. So when we teach the Bible that way, we have an entire congregation who are never shown and taught how to operate with Holy Spirit in a way that doesn't make them look weird or religious, like being in a board meeting and all of a sudden saying, well, you know, the Lord just spoke to me, and here's how I feel. In Canada, they'll lock you up because you're hearing voices.
Right, exactly. Well, I know that people took some exception with our Attorney General here in the United States yesterday saying and suggesting, maybe from a Christian perspective, it came out of her, and of course everybody's been making fun of her ever since about how to deal with a terrorist, was that maybe we needed to demonstrate a little bit of love. And she might be more right than wrong, although, you know, in the context of this environment that we are experiencing here in this culture in the United States, it was a little bit of grating and a bit of a non sequitur. But all it is that we know that what we're doing right now is not working. You know, everybody's having ideas right now. So the ideas are flourishing, you know, because I often say, Leon, in the absence of truth, opinion rules. And right now, opinion is ruling, you know?
Well said. You know, the reason we're having a struggle, that Christianity should thrive in a country where all religions are welcome if they conduct themselves in a way that, you know, respects and honors one another. But in a place where real Christianity is, there is a love, a joy, but then there is the miraculous. And when I say the miraculous, I don't mean in a weird, crazy way. I literally mean in a way where whatever you do, if you are an actor, if you are a politician, if you are a business person, there seems to be this a presence. Some call it an anointing. Some call it gifts. But there's something that super empowers you to be greater than you could ever do on your own. So Solomon, one of the wisest men in the Old Testament, could take a country to a place where the whole world honored him. And the Bible says that we don't even have the mind of Solomon. We have the mind of Christ, which takes us to an even bigger area. So all of our heroes of the Old Testament, prophets and kings and priests, which were the three groups that had God's presence upon them, in the New Testament, every Christian now who's given themselves to Christ and believes on Jesus as Lord and Savior, it says he's the anointed one and he's within us.
Exactly.
And so what it does is it totally, whatever thing we are called to do, there is this incredible, I don't know how to explain it to people who aren't Christian, but there's this just swelling of confidence and ability and power that causes you to help the people around you. And what's really cool is everybody is attracted to you except for those who, you know, don't want Christ in their lives.
Exactly. Well, we know from the Word of God, and we know it experientially, Leon, that you have to have a spiritual mindset to understand spiritual things. So in certain cases, things that we're talking about, you may want them for the wrong reasons. I mean, there was, you know, one point in the book of Acts, we read the story of a guy that, you know, saw what the apostles were doing, say, hey, I want that. You know, can I buy it from you? And, you know, and it looks exciting. But the thing is that what we have is free. You know, that's what Jesus gave us, Jesus in us. And the thing that challenges me repeatedly, Leon, and gets me up at 3 o'clock in the morning is Jesus' words that said, hey, look, you think all these good things I'm doing, you're going to do even better. Because I am seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm cheering you on. And with my Father and I and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're going to do even greater things. And the thing is, it's not about doing greater things because of self-acclimation, because that's what got Solomon in problem. You know, he got out of order. He wanted self-acclimation, and, you know, he was kind of stepping on God's glory there a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
No, that's so good, Bill. Like, I remember in the New Testament where Paul had done a miracle where he had healed this young guy, and they begin to offer bulls and goats at the city gates, and they ran through the crowd, ripping their clothes, saying, stop this. We are just men like you. And so spirit contemporary is a crucial issue, because there's two, for every mile of truth, there's 2 miles of ditch. And so we have people on one ditch who believe in, you know, they're cessationists. They don't believe every miracle has stopped. We now are Christians just to get to heaven, and he gives us psychological comfort. Then the other ditch, we have people who put on a show trying so hard to convince everybody that God is in the midst of them. And we don't need the help, Holy Spirit, by putting on a show.
Exactly.
So when we are believers, and the other thing that as I look at this is that there seems to be a massive disconnect where believers in Christ, now we try to live by a bunch of rules, but in their day-to-day life, they don't see a flow of Holy Spirit to, for example, help them reach their troubled teen, to literally pray for a child who is really sick, and just that beautiful presence of God begin to heal and recover them. There's an absence of the miraculous, except for those who are acting it out in a kind of a really wacko and granola Christians, fruits, nuts, and grapes. And so there's a disconnect, and we no longer seem to believe from the heart. And so as a paramedic, where I begin to look at this, for 7 years, I walked from room to room in the hospital that I was posted in, and in the ditches and in the bushes and the accident scenes, I began to practice praying with people. And I couldn't do it like TV evangelists. I couldn't do it like at the front of Pentecostal churches, which is where I came from. I had to learn to do it in a respectful, honorable way that fitted in to the emergency room.
Exactly.
I had to be able to pray for somebody in a restaurant that would fit into the decor and to the attitude and the atmosphere without embarrassing the person. And so I wanted to be contemporary. I wanted to be real. I wanted to be effective, but I wanted to be spiritually alive. But most people are afraid and scared off from Holy Spirit, because anyone that seems to be filled with Holy Spirit, we think they have to be crazy, condescending, do ridiculous things, and the opposite is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the most contemporary force on the planet.
Amen. Amen. Leon, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, so misunderstood.
Yes.
And I appreciate your heart toward the Holy Spirit and your ministry and what you're doing. No doubt the harvest is ripe. We're to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And I appreciate your prayers, and I join you with that prayer that there will be harvesters that will go out. And that's what I hear from God right now. Leon Fontaine, thank you so much for being with us. Real quick, how can people be in touch with you, Leon?
LeonFontaine.com is where they can go. We've got the book called The Spirit Contemporary Life, which was going to take them through a lot of...
Be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Austin Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.